the Morning is on right now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
It is Calgary Flames game day. The game day sponsor, Country Hills Toyota. 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock for warm-up here on Sportsnet 960. One of 11 games tonight. And it is, as you heard in the commercial, it's the Battle of the Tkachuks. Brady coming to town to take on Matthew. And I very pleased to be joined by our next guest. I reached out, wasn't overly confident that I would get a response, let alone a yes. But I did, and I got a yes. So I'm very happy to be joined by the mom of those two fine young gentlemen. Chantal Tkachuk joins us here on the phone line. Chantal, good morning. How are you?
Great. Good morning.
We had been in contact before. I'll put a little hook in the water, see if she's interested at all. And I didn't hear from you. It's like, well, I can understand that. Keith kind of does a lot of the talking there, but it's great to have you. How are things right now?
Great. Thank you for having me.
So tell us, exciting, a little nervous. How do you watch these games? What are your emotions, you and Keith, when you sit down to watch the boys play each other here?
Well, I find it very nerve-wracking, actually. And unfortunately, I was supposed to be in Calgary this week with my daughter, but because of all the restrictions and travel requirements and everything, we decided not to come, unfortunately. So I'll be watching it on TV tonight, and Keith and I will probably last maybe a period together, and then we usually have to separate.
And what happens? What leads to that separation?
Just because he likes to talk during the game and criticize, then I get protective, and then I just move to a different room.
Yes,
I like that a lot. Yeah, because there's three of us. There's Rhett Warner, of course. He played in the league. He has three boys. Ryan is here as well. He has twin boys. I have two boys, and I'm probably more like Keith. I don't want anybody bugging me when I'm watching, but I can be kind of critical. You're like, can't do that no look pass. I mean, who are you passing? What are you doing there? Is that kind of what it's like?
Exactly. Yeah. So he's an additional commentator during the game.
Yeah. Well, enjoy the 20 minutes together and then the 40 minutes by yourself. Now, Ryan, I'll let you kind of lay it out. Ryan has twin boys, very similar, obviously, but yet very different. Can you kind of describe what it's like?
Yeah, well, being twins, their DNA is quite similar. They're not identical, but as individuals, they couldn't be more different, despite being, you know, within 5 feet of each other for like 99.99% of their lives. I feel like if we have the angel and the devil on each shoulder sort of watching us as we operate through life, the twins are one of each. Do Matthew and Brady fall into that category or not?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're 21 months apart, I think. And I mean, they've grown up doing everything together. So, I mean, obviously not twins, but I mean, you sort of don't mention one of their names without the other. And it's usually good cop, bad cop, but on any given day that can change.
I know in my house, I've got my older boy, they're 3 years difference. And for a while, it was telling my oldest, could you take it easy on your brother? Would you stop bugging your brother? Would you leave him alone? And it's kind of started to turn now where the younger guy, he's very much able to stick up for himself. In fact, put the older one on the floor last night in a wrestling match, and the oldest one was not very happy. Was there a tipping point there where maybe Matthew realized at some point he wasn't going to be able to push Brady around forever?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, Matthew tormented Brady forever. And then once Matthew probably hit about 16 or 17, he realized that he couldn't really do that anymore because Brady was getting bigger and stronger and a lot more feisty. So they still wrestle. I mean, it's ridiculous. They come home and wrestle and have fun with each other. But definitely there's, you know, a little bit of fear now that Brady's gotten bigger and stronger.
Yeah. I wonder, too, because obviously being that they were high-level elite athletes, you leave home younger. It must be kind of almost like making up for lost time when they do get together now, because Matthew, at 15, 16 years of age, he would have moved out of home. Is that fair?
Yeah. He went to the National Development Program up in Michigan when he was 16. So, yeah, he definitely left early. And really, I mean, from then on, we just primarily had summers of all being together, because he, you know, continued to go to London, obviously, and then Calgary. So, I mean, when we're together, it's lots of fun. And, you know, during the pandemic, I mean, although obviously that was a really horrible situation, we ended up having a lot of quality family time. So if we could take one blessing from that, it was, you know, the ability to be all together and really reconnect as a family and as brothers. And I know, you know, obviously Brady's team's been in Calgary for a few days this week and they've gotten to spend some good quality time together. So it's nice in that regards for sure.
Chantal Kachuk, mother of Matthew and Brady, our guest here on Sportsnet. Who was the better student? Who had the marks?
Oh boy, that's a tough one. I would say, that's a tough one.
It doesn't need to be one or the other, because I know that's what it's like in my house. Hey, get your books. We need an hour of homework right now. Let's go. Everything else has got to wait. Yeah. Get after it here.
They were both great in grade school, and then once hockey started getting into the way, I don't think they put in as much effort as they should have. I'll leave it at that.
Rhett, you wouldn't know what that's like, right? Were you maybe?
I loved school. It was always.
Oh, sure, yeah.
First and foremost. Yeah. Our house, for sure.
About 15, right? About 15. And this man is playing junior hockey's all right. School can beat it. I know that.
Let's just say Brady had a great girlfriend in college who I think helped him along.
There you go. See, it comes back. There's always a good woman there somewhere.
Hey, Matthew wasn't at college. How is that supposed to be? That's not fair. Come on.
It's tough. As a parent, you get to that age where they're your kids, they're your boys, whatever. And then you just have to kind of take the bubble wrap off of them and let them go. They're going out on their bike, or they got a driver's license. You got to let them go, and it can be anxious. I'm kind of going through that right now with my oldest. Who did you worry about more on their own, Matthew or Brady?
Well, I think, you know, Matthew left first. So, I mean, you know, that was obviously difficult because when the first one leaves home, I think it's really hard and nerve-wracking, but he sort of paved the way a little bit more for Brady. But I think Brady's the one who, I mean, maybe a bit more daring at times. So I worried a little bit more about him. I think in that way, Matthew, I think, was a bit more responsible. I don't know if he still is. Maybe that's changed now. But they, you know what? They were both pretty good kids. I don't have much to complain about with that. And I'm just, you know, like any parent, you just count your blessings and pray that they, you know, stay safe and healthy and all that stuff. So I don't know. I would just say they both.
Who would you say is probably doing better on their own? Like laundry, who's got the stack? Who's got the huge
fridge,
pile of smelly laundry? Whose fridge is looking awful? Who's not getting their bills paid, and who's actually taking care of themselves?
I think it comes back to the girlfriend. Matthew is living alone in Calgary, doesn't have a stitch of food in his refrigerator. Thank goodness for Skip the Dishes and everything else. Brady has the girlfriend who's up in Ottawa with him a lot and helps him a lot with the cooking and the laundry and everything else. But they both do their own laundry, so I'm proud of that. But neither of them, I think, are very avid cooks in the kitchen. Mm.
Tell us about your daughter, Taryn. How does she fit in with these two NHLers? Because she's a pretty good athlete in her own right, I'm hearing and seeing.
Yeah, she's a field hockey player at University of Virginia. Unfortunately, this year she's been had quite a few injuries and a couple surgeries, so it hasn't gone as well as we were hoping. In fact, she's probably been injured more than the boys, which is kind of ironic. But she loves keeping up to the boys. They are so good to her, and they have a great relationship. And I mean, she's, you know, their number one fan, of course. We were both really disappointed not to be there for tonight's game.
What when you look at your two sons play, what reminds you of your husband from each of them? Because they're pretty different in a way. Like Matthew's not as big, but and I think I know which one's maybe a little louder in a room potentially. But what do you, how do you see it? You know them better than all of us.
Well, I mean, Keith will be the first to admit that, you know, Matthew's probably more skilled in terms of his hands and things like that. They both skate a lot like their dad, I think, and they're both feisty and like wrecking havoc in front of the net like their dad. So I would say, you know, they're similar in a lot of ways, but, you know, probably more skilled at this stage than Keith was at that stage of his career. And Keith will be the first to admit that too. So it's not me. Not me dissing on Keith.
Well, and you know what? I'm from Manitoba. I remember those years very well. It's you knew Keith and met Keith at a young age. So is there any part of that, the way he behaved? Do you shudder to think what they might be doing now that they're in that same age group?
Well, I like to think my boys are better behaved.
Of course they
well,
are,
parents
Mom.
Want
of course,
think, right?
You know, the good parenting. I'm sure they're far better behaved than Keith
That's
was.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
So I know that everybody's travel plans for Christmas got pretty much thrown in the trash. What did you have planned, and what did you end up doing as far as the family get together?
Well, Keith had planned on being in Calgary for the week prior to Christmas, so he was disappointed to have his trip canceled. And Taryn and I actually caught Brady in Philly right before his season or his games got canceled. So everybody came home early, which, you know, was a bonus for me. Of course, we'd much rather be watching them play hockey, but we had them for 6 days versus two, which is what we normally get them for. So we just made the most of it and, you know, just had some fun, nothing too crazy, but just, you know, some fun dinners and, some gatherings with some close family friends, and that was pretty much it.
So how many small countries could you feed with all that food you made for those three dudes in the house?
Oh my goodness. You forget when they're not home, just how much they eat and how much work they are. But, you know, obviously it's fabulous having them around when they're home, but it, they do eat you out of the house for sure.
Is it still kind of a daily phone call with Dad during the course of the season? Is Dad calling the boys? Are they calling him? What's that like?
I think it goes both ways. And yeah, I would say, I don't know if it's daily. I think we all sort of reach out to each other via text daily. We have a family group chat that, you know, is constant. But in terms of phone calls, I would say, you know, several times a week. And I don't know, you know, who initiates it, but they definitely talk a lot to their dad, for sure.
Well, I'll tell you, Matthew is beloved here in Calgary, and I know that Brady is a huge fan favorite in Ottawa, but I don't know if you knew this. There are other cities where they're not quite as popular. In Edmonton, for sure, maybe not the same love affair. Maybe in Toronto, they're not as big a fan of Brady. Does that hurt your heart a little bit when people speak badly about your boys?
Well, I have to be honest, I search Tkachuk on Twitter every single day. So
No, you can't do
Mom,
that.
Mom, you can't
do it.
Do it.
Nothing good comes from that.
Mom.
You know what? It's like a weird guilty pleasure, and the boys always tell me I've got to stay off of it, and I just can't help myself. So I'm aware they're not liked everywhere, and I see it all. And some of it actually makes me laugh out loud, and other times it bothers me. But one of the latest that I saw that really actually made me laugh, somebody tweeted, "Even COVID doesn't like Matthew Tkachuk."
That's right. Well, we were talking about it this morning.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, sudden in the Tkachuk blood, not even COVID can get through to it. So before we let you go, who wins tonight? Senators versus Flames. Who's winning?
Oh, boy. I just hope it goes into overtime, and after that, I don't care.
All right.
That's and a quick follow-up. Who's your favorite? Because while we're on the topic of,
Same thing. I love them both equally on most days.
I think it's cool that you came on with us, Chantel. We appreciate it. I remember sending a message. I had heard that Matthew happened to drop in at a rink one day and went and talked to a group of kids. It was not set up. It just felt he just went and did it, and the kids were absolutely floored and still talk about it. So they may not like Matthew in Edmonton, and they may not like Brady in Toronto or wherever, but you guys have done a heck of a job with those boys, and thanks for coming on, and enjoy tonight's game, regardless of who comes away with the win.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's nice to chat with you guys.
You bet. Thanks, Chantel.
Okay, take care.
You betcha. Chantel Tkachuk, the mom of the boys. And it would be about that time, because I remember, you hear a lot, right? And that's even before the days of internet and all that. It's like, Keith Tkachuk, young man, first rounder with money in rather small city, small hockey market. Keith was known to have a hell of a good time.
Oh, why wouldn't you?
A hell of a good time.
Wait, you want to have a bad time?
Yeah.
Come on. So one lap on Earth, Dean. Stop being so negative. Go out and have some fun.
I think that would go through your mind. Like, oh, please tell me they're not doing what Keith did. But you know they would be. So, oh, that's insane.
Well, you know, and how would Keith's career gone if there was cameras on everyone's phones that were in their pockets instead of at home on a curly wire, right?
You're not doing as much nowadays anyway, because you can't keep up if you show up at the rink.
Well, and you can't get away with it in a way. You can't just say, hey, I'm going to go to the bar and, you know, spray 1,000 wine glasses like Rhett used to do, right?
Yeah, it's not as on vogue as it used to be.
No. When did Tkachuk start in Winnipeg? Early 90s?
Keith was drafted. He played his first year 91-92. He got into 17 games. First full season, 92-93.
That's...
And I mean, I don't remember. I know that the boys are good players, but I don't remember a time when Keith wasn't a good player. Had 28 goals his first full season, 41 in year two.
Jeez.
And was north of 200 PIMs in both seasons. Yeah, he was. That was kind of when, it's not like you hadn't seen power forwards, but that was kind of, you had Cam Neely, then Tkachuk, Brendan Shanahan, then Lindros. It was that sort of thing where the power forward kind of became a term. And he was the epitome of that.
Oh, yeah.
Tough as nails, that guy.
I kind of feel like Matthew's got the swagger, cockiness, and personality closer to Keith, whereas Brady might have more of that frame, the bigger body.
Well, I like seeing the photo because I had gone...
I see the dad in both, right?
Yeah, there was the photo of Brady at a wedding wearing the suit jacket but no shirt, you know. I think there's a lot of that to go around. I think they both have a little bit of that that you love in a buddy, right? But guys love him. He's a great guy. And then they go, what is with this kid? What is with that guy? No, trust me, he's a great guy. He is a great guy. They are both all Tkachuk, I guess, when you come down to it. Which is what we would have expected anyway.
I also tonight, look forward to Brady coming out and helping Matthew with his contract negotiations this summer. That's always a fun Team Tkachuk with the negotiations.
Flip the script, right? Matthew did it last year. It's only fair that Brady does it this year. It's a game day. Flames and Sens tonight, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock warm-up. We will break. When we come back, former was on the show every week, was a regular routine guest on the show. He is still getting it done in Philadelphia. He does the pregame, does the postgame for Flyers games on the radio, does the morning run, has been on ESPN. He's done it all. He is Al Morganti, and he will be with us next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You're locked on Boomer in the Morning. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Every single hour of the show, within minutes, up on Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, you can listen to it. Just almost like as soon as the words come out of our mouth, they're right there for you. And they have been, I mean, it's been well thought out and very educational this morning, I think. It's been a very good show. Very good show. Good job, everybody. Haven't heard a lot of you, Rhett, but other than that, it's been all right.
No, I'm not good at talking.
You're not good at talking, okay.
He's good at mumbling, though. He's a good mumbler.
Very good,
isn't he?
Yeah, quiet mumbler. He's very good at that, but pleased to be joined. This guy, he's not a mumbler. He's been doing this. This guy is a true legend. He's been doing it. He's been doing it a long time. He is a Philadelphia fixture, formerly of the Satellite Hot Stove. We loved having him on, and it's been...
Icon.
An icon, and it's been too long. Al Morganti, man, how are you?
I'm fine. It's been way too long since I've been on up there, and I miss it. And but I gotta say, being in Philadelphia, it's always the center of chaos. So I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, no matter how good or bad your season's going, whether it's basketball, football, hockey, baseball. It's always chaos, so that's why I lasted so long. Nothing to do with me, everything to do with the chaos in Philadelphia.
Yeah, but right now, there's no chaos with football. Life's good, right?
Oh, and there's always chaos. Oh. Now it's like, now, you know, Tom Brady, you know, how are you going to beat him? Is it a successful season? Nobody's satisfied. So they're happy you're going in, but there's always something going on with, you know, 2 weeks ago was Minshew. Maybe Minshew is the answer. My God, it never ends.
Minshew mania. I mean, you got to be careful. You can catch it. It's very infectious. It was cool. You know what? You reached out the other day, and it was very cool. The Bobby Clark stuff, and I said to you, does Bobby Clark not real? I'm thinking he's just kind of on a podcast, and maybe that it wasn't going to catch fire. And you kind of said, it takes a little while, but Bobby is no stranger to speaking his mind. Clark had people talking this week.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, when it was I don't understand why exactly you do this, but I do know that it seems like it's only the, let's say, older guys who come off the top rope at people anymore. And yeah. I've never seen anything like this with one general manager, a former general manager or icon, go at another general manager, previous general manager like this. And all I could surmise was it sort of looks like at this point like a defensive what's happened to the Flyers, don't pin it all on the guy in the front office now. Look at what happened. Those plans, those blueprints that were supposed to work so well, maybe that's the problem here. Maybe it's the blueprint and not what's happened here. Maybe it's all not on Fletcher right now in the Flyers front office. But I've been doing this a long time. I don't know that have you ever seen anything as just blatant as that? Like, he just wouldn't listen to anybody, and the scout said, take somebody else.
So,
if we believe it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're close to it. You've been around Clark for decades. How much of what he's selling are you buying on this, his attack on Hextall?
It's a convoluted thing, because if you go back to that draft, it looked like a two-player draft, obviously. Now, I don't think Clark got triggered by the Makar move against Chicago all of a sudden. No, there had been, you know, there was one website here, Snow and the Goalies, the podcast, but they've been saying this for a while, that the scouts wanted Makar. I believe some of them did, and I have indeed talked to people who have verified that it was not unanimous, that some of them did. But the bottom line, if you're a general manager on a draft like that, at least in my opinion, is if Hextall had not gone after one of those two, Hischier, or who they got, that he would have been going cowboy. That was the chalk of what was going on. But since then, there's been a lot. And a lot of this, guys, has to do with the fact that Ron Hextall was not very popular within the organization, within the alumni, when he was here. And Bob Clark, I'll give him this, as much as this seemed to come out of the blue to people, whenever I spoke to him, whatever, his one criticism of Hextall, and he praised him an awful lot, was that he will not listen to people. He will not have a sounding board. I guess that's the term he used. He just wished that Ron Hextall would have used a sounding board. So if you put that together with didn't listen to the scouts, there's more than a little bit to it. I don't think this was Clark just going off and certainly not making something up. That's not the case.
So what do you make of Fletcher's tenure then? Because it's not as if the Minnesota Wild are pining for him to return. And I don't know if we look at the last 3 years, if there's a worse deal than the one he pulled to get Rasmus Ristolainen out of Buffalo for a single year before unrestricted free agency.
Yeah, but when you look at what, like, and that's your question you're asking is exactly, I think, why Clark did what he did. Because now the spotlight's there. What did you do? Look what we got. Ellis can't play. Ristolainen, although I got to say the Flyers needed that physical presence. When you look back, it certainly looked like everybody they got was a plug-and-play player, but Ellis simply isn't playing. You can give up much to get him when you really look at it. He's not playing. So you look at that and go, well, what happened there? And then, you know, Broussard wasn't supposed to be as big a component as he is. He's hurt. I don't think it's the players that he – I don't think this summer was the problem. I think the problem is Hayes is very, very slow, and he's coming off another injury. Couturier hasn't been the player that we've expected of him to be. Giroux is still expected to be their top guy at his age, you know, key situations. Sanheim hasn't developed. Provorov has been just – look, Provorov's a very good player. But last year, all of a sudden, it sounded like Matt Niskanen was a Hall of Famer because look at Provorov's game since Niskanen's not there. And now this year, it's like, well, Provorov suffered because Elix can't play. Well, Ivan Provorov's supposed to be a guy at standalone, and that hasn't happened. So I think a lot of it has to do with, and Konechny, guys who we thought were going to develop. And that's where I think what Clark says is like, well, don't just look at here. Look at with the underpinnings that we've had here, and they're not working out. That seems to be a much larger problem to me, but it is an organization that's really in a mushy middle. Can you imagine having Carter Hart playing the way he's playing, with all the goaltending problems they've had in the past in Philadelphia? Mm-hmm. Martin Jones is playing 50% better than anybody thought he was going to – I thought he was going to play anyway. And they're where they are and having the struggles they have. So it's quite a mess they've got in, and I think Clark was in part trying to say, well, don't pin it all on the people here. Look at what had been planned to come up and where they are now.
One of the deals that was also made in the offseason, Jake Voracek going for Cam Atkinson. Now, Atkinson, the smaller guy, now he's not making as much money. That one felt a little different to me because it didn't feel like Atkinson was a prototypical Flyer. Was that a cash scenario, or did they feel like Atkinson was going to be able to help them more so than Voracek?
That was a chemistry thing, and I think Atkinson has given them an energy type of thing. I think they just wanted to change some things. When you look at the people they brought in, it's like guys that had been war letters, season A's, to come in to kind of change to change their culture a little bit, to have more of a leadership type of a thing. And I know Voracek's been here a long time, but they wanted more of an energy player there. I really have no gripes with that one, and either way. I mean, I don't think the Flyers have much gripe to complain with Atkinson, and certainly not the other way with Voracek. But it seemed to be getting a bit stale here, and that's why that move was made. I really look at this past summer, I'm like, well, you know, I mean, the one was Yandel, who, look, everybody wants him. They're kind of handcuffed, get the record. But there's a lot of nights watching him try to play defense, like watching a cat try to herd cattle. I mean, it's just, it's really painful at times. But they got him and got rid of Goss Despair, who that was a money thing. Goss Despair's mistakes cost a whole lot more per dollar than Yandel's have.
We were talking the other day about Claude Giroux. Now, here is a guy that is going to be an unrestricted free agent. It sounds like we're going to wait till the end of the season, kind of put off any contract talk. Now, 2013 is when he was made captain. I guess, time flies, right? I didn't realize it had been that long for Claude Giroux, and there really hasn't been a lot of playoff success with him as the captain. And so I'm curious, what do Flyer fans, how do they view him? Is he beloved regardless, or is there is he knocked a little bit because they have not been able to muster much success with him with the letter on his chest?
He's been knocked more than a little bit, and this is a case where, and you hit it right on the letter, if he had not been the captain, I think he'd be revered. But the fact that he's been the captain, and this is a franchise, when you look at their history with captain, you know, Clark was here. They had that whole thing with Lindros where they took the C off on a pregame show and put it on a Desjardins jersey. They traded Poulin when he was a captain, just take the captaincy away. So I think that really – There is a stress level with the fans, and like, well, he's the captain. He's supposed to be the guy that changes things. That's supposed to be the leader, and he hasn't managed to get us past. The worst thing that could have happened to him was way back when, you know, when they played Pittsburgh and Laviolette called him the best player on the planet, and they're playing Sidney Crosby. So if you're not the best player in the state, it's tough to be the best player on the planet. So that's followed him around. He's a terrific hockey player, obviously. And they still, he's the guy on the ice when they need a face-off late in the game. He's the guy on the ice when they pull the goalie, and he's the guy that gives them the energy. but you are spot on when you look at the tenure of them. You say, well, 1 year in the playoffs, 1 year out of the playoffs, one really good playoff run, and that's it. And he's not the most dynamic in terms of media and stuff like that. So I think he gets a whole lot of criticism his way. And I'm absolutely positive that if they can't pull out of this, and it doesn't look like they're going to be able to, it's going to be get what you can at the trade deadline, and then he'll be a free agent to go to Ottawa or wherever. But the crime of it is, now that's a guy that really loves being here. He's loved being their captain or whatever, loves the fans, everything like that. I think it would hurt him. It would hurt him to move on, but I don't think there'll be an option. I haven't looked at the candidates where he's going to go, but I'm pretty sure that he'll, you know, where do you want to go to get your best chance at a cup? I don't see this going beyond this trade deadline here.
Yeah, because I was curious. Sometimes you'll hear he's the captain. What do you get, picks or a prospect? You don't trade your captain. You owe it to him to make that choice. That's not exactly the storyline there with Giroux and the Flyers.
No, it's not. It's actually been that cap, that C is cement on his sweater. It's not so. It's like it must be like that, especially to some fans. Whether it's fair or not, it is reality, and it's kind of a split thing. You know, players obviously a lot of fans play. They love him. But it's like, well, what have you done? What have you brought me? And I don't even know anymore how big that is, really, in a room with a captaincy. I mean, I don't know that it's way back in the day, whatever. But to the fans, to see it, it's he gets it hung on him, a playoff exit too quick, or you didn't make the playoffs. Well, first you blame the goalie, and that doesn't happen anymore. So now you blame the captain.
It's been a while now, because I know you had brought it up when we were messaging, that maybe the pursuit of players, the path that this team is on, has changed a little bit since the passing of Ed Snyder, of course, the longtime owner of the Flyers. He was 83 years of age, and I know that it really mattered to people. We really want to win one here for the owner before he passes on. It did not happen. Has the messaging changed? Is it a different kind of a method to the madness for the Flyers now with Snyder gone?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know how fair it is. I mean, you know, Ed Snyder, look, the organization got criticized a week ago when everybody was upset that the Flyers didn't recognize Snyder's birthday on a night where they were playing, which it really became a big social media thing. And I was like, I didn't think it was, and I loved Ed Snyder, but I didn't think it was that egregious. Mm. But boy, I'll tell you, the fan base was upset when it got out there. And what you have is now, like everything, it's more corporate, more buttoned down, if you will. Here's an example. Like the Flyers have really been in this COVID thing. I thought unfairly they were forced to play a couple of games in the past week. Well, in the past, you can bet Ed Snyder would have been taking his shoe off, banging it on a desk, screaming about what was going on. How's my team getting screwed here? And, you know, more corporate leadership of the Flyers, I mean, it's just not going to happen. And I doubt it would happen anywhere anymore. But that's what the fans have been accustomed to in terms of, you know, are they really trying everything? And I thought Hextall originally tried to get away from it, and with the blessings of Ed Snyder, to like, you know, let's rebuild. Instead of going for the shiny toy every summer, let's do this. Well, now, even though they changed it, I suspect what's going to happen now is, if this turns into what I think this season, I think the Flyers are going to be in the market for the shiny toy this summer to try to get this turned around quickly.
Is Chuck Fletcher going to be the guy if it's a bit of a tear down, rebuild kind of a thing, or a, whatever you want to call it, reload? Is he going to be the guy, do you think?
I think he will be the guy. I think the big change would be in the coach. That's I think where they would look to change it. I don't get any sense that Fletcher would be in trouble. I mean, you get the injury situation. You can still sort of use COVID as cover on what's happened here. But I think that would be the change. Unfortunately, if it was like, you know, Giroux's not here, we've got a new coach, look, they need an electrifying player, kind of. I mean, when you look at it, their goalie's terrific, but, you know, Couturier is a terrific player, but not electric. Somebody to take you, like Makar, somebody to take you out of your seat when something happens. So if there's that player available in free agency, a guy can score goals, you know, a force like that to probably be looking, because frankly, the face of the franchise has become the mascot. I mean, it's crazy, but every time you see, I mean, it's amazing to me that you know, Flyers and it's an unbelievable marketing scheme. But they need they certainly need, and they thought they might have been getting it with Ellis, I guess, but it hasn't, you know, he's been hurt. So I think that might be what they're looking for. But I don't think the GM will be. And I think what happened with Clark here is a pretty good sign that it's not going to be the GM that pays any sort of price.
So
the good news is we don't know of any, you know,
I was going to say, so
free agents
hypothetically
that are out this summer,
hypothetically speaking,
from her Philly area.
Yeah, hypothetically, yeah. Then with 8.275 of Claude Giroux coming off the books, do you think the Flyers would go north of $9 million on a 7-year deal for Johnny Gaudreau?
I think they'd be very tempted to, especially the kind of, you know, turnaround. I guess I haven't watched them that closely, but the turnaround year, I think the coach was a good thing for him there. With what's happened, I think that would certainly be in play. And I don't think it would be just to bring a hometown guy, but to a guy with that kind of skill to come in, and we'll see what their money. But I would certainly think that would be kind of investigated, and that would be a real possibility.
You're one of the best, man. I don't know how haven't had you on in so long. We're going to do this again real soon. Always, people love you here in Calgary, and you love Calgary. That's what. You're one of the guys. You love the road trips to Calgary.
I love Calgary like no other city. I just loved going there. The people were so nice. I was personally affronted when Nashville was, you know, making their run. They said, "What a great city! Look at the way the music and this is." I go, "This is like Calgary light." when you look at when the Flames were hot, and it's just a gorgeous, pretty city. I travel coast to coast there a lot. Vancouver, Montreal to Vancouver, and it's like, man, if I could pick anywhere to live, man, that would be it. I don't know how I'd wake up in a bad mood living there, looking out and seeing what I see, and like having. And I love the weather. It was warm in the winter when I was there at times. So you guys got a great thing going on.
Man, thanks for coming on. Enjoy Fly Eagles Fly, I guess, this weekend. Good luck with that.
Run Eagles Run.
Yeah, something like that. But good to talk to you again,
yeah,
Al.
Run the ball. Yeah. Run the damn ball. Okay, guys, thank you very much.
Thanks, Al. Talk to you soon. He is one of the best, man. Al Morganti, Philadelphia sports legend.
Is there is that Stampede Marshall position available for the parade?
It's sincere, because we've had him on the show for years and years, and it has been a little while, but he genuinely loves Calgary. He's like, man, I can't wait to come. I'm going to come see you. We should do dinner when I come to Calgary. He loves the city, and he loves it here, and has been doing it forever. So 9 times 7.
What a great city to do that job.
9.
Like, are you kidding me?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, we've talked about that. You've got the ballpark, the stadium, and the hockey/basketball arena in the same parking lot. It's always humming on Broad Street down there. And when you're in a town, you have your own sandwich. You know, you're doing something right. You're doing something right. We didn't spark Gaudreau talk. Now, is that going to be something that's going to get on?
Well, I think he sparked it, to be fair. But when he started talking about where they're at, which I think is a part of their problem, is they're not really willing to take the L, and they continue to go chase it with big contracts and free agency. Like, they're one of the – we'll have Kevin Woodley on at 9:05. He talked last year about how, Carter Hart had a really rough year. That is one of the worst environments a goaltender can play in. That the east-west chances where you have to move laterally and then make a save in close, like highest in the league, and just a horrible place for goalie numbers. So, Carter had a bad year. That was a horrible environment. And then you bring in Yandel, Ristolainen, and an injury-prone Ellis, and you think it's going to get better? And you gave up a first and 2 seconds to get all that done and get Gostis Bear out, who's still putting up numbers on the power play. I just don't think that GM's are good. I think he's probably a really nice guy, but they don't miss him on iota in Minnesota.
And what's wild is it's been a tough spot for goalies almost ever. Pelle Lindbergh succeeded. Ron Hextall didn't win a cup, but it's been rough for so many goalies that have gone there. We got a spin here.
Bobrovsky?
What you want to talk about? It's brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Keep the cold out with weather stripping, door sweeps, and architectural hardware from Calgary Lock and Safe. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com.
So what you want? 960, 960.
Got a couple quick minutes here for you. Great to hear Morganti again. The best guest, period. That from John. He is great. We got to get him on more often. Giroux is a stud. He's exactly what Calgary needs.
I don't disagree. You get him or a Pavelski type. That would be filling the hole they have in the forward group, in my opinion.
Retro, what were you going to...
No, nothing. I'm just...
I heard you. I wasn't sure if it was agreeing or you were concerned.
I don't disagree. I don't know. What's the price again?
Yeah.
No, everything's contingent on that, but it's the type of player you'd love to have, right?
Boom, will your oldest be upset you told the city his younger brother took him down? I don't know that it'll get back to him. But he'll have no answer for it because it's exactly what happened. And what made it worse is he had just got back from the gym.
Oh, see, now that's making it worse. Now it's really becoming a thing.
Who's the biggest draw in Philly for mascot? The Philly Fanatic, Gritty, or Swoop? I'm not familiar
so much by with a mile. Swoop.
Man, the Philly Fanatic's a legend, though.
Right, but in terms of right now, who's hot? Gritty.
Could you
have a better 2, 3, 4 years than as a mascot than that guy?
It's a great take, though, that the face of the franchise is the mascot. And he's probably right. I mean, all due respect to poor Claude Giroux or whatever, Gritty's a big deal. Remember how he got crushed? I mean, everybody just absolutely danced on the Flyers for bringing
out
Gritty.
They got soaked for like 2 weeks, and then it was like, oh my God. They're doing all the things you're not allowed to do with a mascot. Breaking all the rules.
Yeah. Listen to the station for a long time. Never a better guest than Al Morganti. Happy to get him back. Yeah, people loving on him. People loving on him for sure. Quick thoughts tonight. Flames, Senators, Retro. First game in a long time for both. Certainly more so for the Senators. What do you...
I think it's going to be tough sledding. It's going to be exhibition type hockey.
A little sloppy.
Flames get the win, but I can't. You haven't played that much. It's going to be tough to have a lot of quality play, I think.
Ryan?
I would agree with Red on the Ottawa front. I think Calgary, you're going to see a much more organized defensive effort. Sutter's had some practice time. They're going to be, you know what they worked on? Structure, playing their own end, defending. I think it's a tighter, more pre-COVID break appearance from the Flames.
That's what you want to talk about, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Keep the cold out with weather stripping, door sweeps, and architectural hardware from Calgary Lock and Safe. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com. Flames Talk with Pinder is coming up next. See you, buddy.